When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
Hey everyone, Kevin here, asking you to head over to our Patreon and check it out. Enjoy benefits like exclusive content, merch discounts, and behind-the-scenes looks at all things Rare Drop. Go to patreon.com/raredrop to become a member today, and thank you so much to our current patrons who helped make this show possible. Dave the New Nerd, Neil Anderson, Jack DeVille, Philip Snyder, Jedi Chappie, Paul Marzik, Aether Mana, Respect KS, Petey Club, Wow Dad, Justin McMahon, Stephen Purd, Matt LaRue, and all of the other patrons. Thank you so much.
Hey y'all, I'm Sam, and I'm excited to be back hosting for GCX 2022. Room blocks are still available at the beautiful Rose and Shingle Creek in Orlando, Florida. So book now with our discounted link and stay in the same space as the event so that the fun never has to end. Well, I mean, that really couldn't be more convenient. Go to gcxevent.com/rosen to learn more.
Welcome to episode 52 of Star Wars and Scotch with your hosts, Tim, a.k.a. Darkness429.
Hey!
And me, Kevin.
Hey, Kevin! Woo!
I need a new nickname since K-Magic 101 is dead and buried. Well, if we're going to do a funeral for Fat Tim, we should do a funeral for K-Magic 101, too.
Oh. I think we should just wrap it all up. You know, Fat Kevin, Fat Tim, K-Magic 101...
GCX. No, I'm kidding. We're having a GCX. So, little. It's blame on me.
It's been a while, Kevin. What the heck?
I'm going to suck this one up. So, my home office where I used to stream from is where I normally record everything. I record Star Wars and Scotch with Tim. I do any streams for Rare Drop there, and I record Old Fashioned with Mike there. The internet has in wall wiring from when we built the house. One of the storms must have shorted it out, so it doesn't work. So my wife called an electrician, and they can't come until next Tuesday. But we called them 2 weeks ago. So that is why you haven't gotten any Star Wars and Scotch. Paul and me hooked me up to record in my new office, at our new office. So that is where I am now. We still don't have the mic 100% dialed in, but it's good enough to do a show.
It sounds good. So we're good.
So
we back.
I apologize personally, not Tim, me. Tim doesn't have to for no Star Wars and Scotch, no Old Fashioned, and whatnot. But we have so much to talk about today, and I'm so excited. But the only issue is there's trains going by and fire engines outside our office.
It's like we're back in New York. It's fine.
Hey, I'm walking here. Tim and I did just get back from New York too. We were at King's Coast 4th anniversary. White honey's gone, so we can't advertise that. But all of the new labels and bags are out, so you can go to kingscoastcoffee.com. None of the roasts have changed, but they might have a new name or a new bag. That's the only thing. So, and Tim personally did roast your coffee last weekend. So
me.
There you go. Uh-huh. Yeah. Where do you want to start?
Oh, man. Okay, so let's start off with, let's just talk about KOTAR. It's the newest thing. It's the hottest thing. It showcased yesterday during the PlayStation showcase. We've been speculating on it for a few episodes now. We've been talking about KOTAR that comes up. A lot of people have been asking questions. There's a lot of confusion as well. So I think this is a good time to just jump right into it and talk about it. So if you guys missed it, yesterday was the PlayStation Showcase for 2021. It's just PlayStation's moment to get on stage and show off all of the new games that are coming out. Last year was a little underwhelming because of COVID. But this year they definitely pulled out all the stops, and the second or third game that they showcase ends up being Knights of the Old Republic. And they have this beautiful, amazing intro of Revan. And that in itself is us just confirming that Revan is finally physically, visually becoming a part of canon. At least that's the assumption right now. There are still people that believe that this is going to be Legends, or it'll be a part of the, it'll still be considered expanding universe. It won't actually be canon. I beg to disagree with Lucas Games being in control of this IP. They're the publishing house. I don't think they would produce something like this with so much control of just the overall beginning of the Star Wars universe. I mean, Knights of the Old Republic is the oldest part of Star Wars storytelling that we can get to right now. It predates everything else that we know and love. So for them to go back and do not just like a rehash of the game, not a remaster, not a port. This is a pure reimagining of KOTAR. Being
the game director tweeted yesterday, just to clarify, this is a remake.
This is not a remaster. So it's not going to be like Mass Effect, where they take the game and then they might change a little bit here and there as far as the mechanics, but it's still pretty much a 1-to-1 representation of how it was before. This, I think, is it's still going to be the Knights of the Old Republic that we know and love, but it's going to be refined. The storytelling is going to be flushed out in the way that Lucas has been storytelling lately. I mean, look at how we've seen the books for High Republic. Look at the comic book series. Look at all the Star Wars shorts. And even now that we've got some new shows coming out, also, even just like The Mandalorian, look how flushed out they've become when it comes to storytelling. I think we're going to get a really, really exciting story that is going to fall in line with Jedi Fallen Order. Like, that was like one of the best Star Wars stories I've ever experienced, you know, in a video game comic book story. Like, just the story itself of Cal Kestis was just so exciting. And I think we're going to get that same level of excitement and just detail with Knights of the Old Republic.
My two cents on that is this. I agree with everything you just said. I'm happy it's a remake. It's going to get the Final Fantasy VII Resident Evil treatment, which is what Tim and I originally said we thought would be happening. It's being made by Aspyr. Aspyr's resume is not too extensive,
but their Star Wars resume is impressive.
They did the remaster of Republic Commando, which I have on my Switch, and it was very well done. Very well done. It plays like a modern game. It still has dated graphics, but it feels good. It was a great port. They did a good job. Not a port, but a remaster. They did the remaster of Jedi Academy, which I also played on Switch.
Such a good game.
And had a blast. I actually streamed that a while back. They did the Ruby game, the Rooster Teeth Ruby game. Mm-hmm. They did Jedi Outcast as well, which I have not
Another
played.
Good game.
And then they do Civ 6 on mobile, which I know many of you, that's your mobile game of choice. So they have a nice track record,
yep,
but they don't have a huge title. They don't have something mega and incredible, but I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is their first foray into it. The other comforting thing is a lot of the people that worked on the old Knights of the Old Republic are working on this game.
Because they all left BioWare.
Yeah, I have this game. I've talked about it ad nauseum, and other people agree, but this game is special to a lot of people.
Yes.
And it needs to be handled with care. I know Lucasfilm is very, very in tune with that.
Yep.
I don't think this decision to bring this back was made lightly. I think this has gone through many different rounds of review and figuring out the right way to do this. I think Tim is right. This is not a 1-to-1 remake of the original game. This is a chance to make Revan canon, to make Bastila canon, to make Carthonassi canon, and do it so it fits into the story that Disney is telling.
Yep.
And this is the gift.
Yep.
To all the Star Wars fans that have been bitching and moaning, like, oh, Disney ruined everything. Disney. Even recently when we heard Tim, and we'll get into this a little bit later, when I told Tim, I said, Tim, there's a rumor going around that Christian Slater is being cast as Ren. And Tim was like, what, Rent? Like the Knights of Ren? And I'm like, yeah. And then you sit back and you go, oh, maybe that's why they didn't tell the story of them in the newest trilogy, because they want to tell the story in a different way.
Yeah.
Well, and this goes back to what Tim and I have been saying since episode one of this podcast. This is how the story of Star Wars is told. It's told in pieces. And when you step back 20 years later, you can look back and have a complete picture. And that's what this Knights of the Old Republic remake, in my opinion, is going to be. It's going to be the foundation of everything that came before.
Yep.
And they're going to put I wouldn't be surprised if things like the Zepho end up in this.
I hope so.
This is where I'm super curious. The Rakata. And we've discussed this and we're not going to have a full on discussion, but I am very curious, since the Zepho are the forerunners of the Force, are they really going to make the Rakata like the forerunners of life in the universe, which is what they were?
Mm-hmm.
And the Starforge and the maps to the Starforge. It's just like, if all of that can be fit into Disney's universe, I'm so happy.
I think you hit the nail on the head a few episodes ago, Kevin, when we were talking about KOTAR and how we were like, man, are they really going to do a Knights of the Old Republic show? Is it going to be a movie? Is it going to be a comic? Is it going to be a book? And it's like, no, I don't think it would have felt right if they would have taken Knights of the Old Republic and they would have put the Old Republic in any type of medium outside of a video game. Like it deserves to have the video game treatment, because that's what we know. That's what we love. I can still remember the first time being on Coruscant in KOTAR. Like when there's just a scene where you walk out through the doors and you walk on a sky bridge and you see all of,
you're thinking of Terrace. Coruscant isn't,
is
in
it
KOTAR.
Terrace?
You're thinking of Terrace.
Is Terrace. That what it is? Okay. So
like Coruscant.
I want to roll back and say the last time I played KOTAR, I was in the back of my parents' minivan on a vacation up the East Coast. There was an Xbox. There was a power converter, and anytime my parents went under the speed limit of like 45 miles per hour, it would shut off. It would actually, the Xbox would just pull too much energy.
It's a 21-year-old game.
It's really old. So like, there's a lot of things I don't remember. My point being is like, there are memories that I have. Like I remember going to the Jedi Temple and going and finding my Kyber crystal in the cave. I remember that, but I don't remember a lot of the other things. I remember the Starforge. I remember Revan. But I don't remember a lot of other things. So I'm super excited to go back, relive this game that I played in the back of my parents' van, and be able to experience that. And again, we get to learn a true Star Wars story. And that's what I'm so excited about. Is like, you go back and like think about where Star Wars was 20 years ago. It was all over the place. There was no fluidity. There was no consistency. It was just all over
Wild
the place.
West.
And people were arguing about the stupidest things. Like it just never made any sense. And so now we finally get a true picture of what the Old Republic was. And then what I'm really excited to see is, how do they tie this into the High Republic? How do we go from old to high? And then where is the tie-ins? Because now Disney has this amazing opportunity with Lucas to be able to tie in the video games into their shows. The shows tie into their movies. And then you get this beautiful circle. And so I am just so excited to see this all just come to fruition. This is something we've been waiting for such a long time.
And even though we hated it, the groundwork was laid when they brought us to Tython and the Mandalorian. Because Tython is a huge planet in Knights of the Old Republic. Mm-hmm. The Old Republic, which is the MMO that preceded Knights of the Old Republic 2. And now I'm seeing on the message boards and whatnot, it's like, is this going to lead into the Old Republic becoming canon stories, you know, or how does that start to fit in? Because that is part of that shared universe with KOTAR. So this could be kicking open a door to a lot of big things for old school fans of Star Wars. One point I want to touch on before we move on is this. I've said it so many times. This is my second favorite game of all time. My first is Legend of Zelda: Link to the Past. This is my second favorite game of all time. I will go down fighting that it has the greatest plot twist in the history of video games, period. Not Star Wars, video games. The greatest plot twist.
The idea of we are Revan is
it,
like
the whole time,
the
and, you
whole
don't know
time
it.
And you don't know it is like, that's a really interesting thought. You know, you were it's the primeval portion of Star Wars is like you get to be the hero or the antagonist. Like that's the beauty of that.
when I saw his mask yesterday and I was sitting at my desk, it was all in the office because everyone was out and Mindy she had to leave early for an appointment. Mm-hmm. I yelped loud, audibly by myself.
I screamed and jumped off my chair. I was running back and forth in my room on stream. Like it was the silliest thing.
And then Ben said something on social media that got me, and it got me thinking to something last night that got me really emotional. Mm-hmm. Ben's like, I finally get to play this. I've never played it. Because if you go back and play it now,
it's bad.
The controls are horrendous.
It's also turn-based too. You lose interest.
It plays better on an iPad than it does on a console port or on PC.
Because that's
PC.
How mobile games are now. Mobile games are the turn-based games that we grew up playing 20 years ago, like Final Fantasy and KOTOR.
I have it on my iPad. It actually plays really well on the iPad. But Ben, you know, he was like, oh, maybe I'll get to it someday. He said, I finally get to experience this. And inside, I'm like, oh, my God, there are people that don't know. They don't know.
That's exciting.
They don't know what this game is and what it means.
Yeah.
I tried to get my daughter, my oldest daughter, she's 17, to play it. And she was like, Dad, the controls are terrible. I can't do this.
Dad, the controls are rough. The graphics are hard to look at. I have to say this before we switch off to the next thing. If the fighting mechanics are turn-based, I will be very let down.
I don't think they will
keep true to that. What I would love to see is the Final Fantasy VII remake touch, where you get to make the decision of, do I play free, like do I do free fight or do I do the traditional turn-based? I would love to be able to go back and forth through that if possible. Yeah. But what I really want is I want the Knights of the Old Republic story with the Jedi Fallen Order mechanics. I really liked the like Dark Soul light touch of like, you know, perfect parries, combos, being able to like decide, like going up different skill trees and whatnot. Like that, I really truly think Jedi Fallen Order from Respawn set the groundwork and just set the overall like expectations for what a Star Wars Jedi game or even just like Force user lightsabers is supposed to feel like. So I don't know, Kevin, like, how do you feel as far as mechanics? Like, do you feel like it's going to be a Jedi Fallen Order style game, or do you think they're going to kind of hold true to the original turn-based style?
I think they're completely copy and pasting how, not the game, but how Final Fantasy brought back Final Fantasy VII, because Final Fantasy VII was one of my favorite games. And you know me, I'm not like a Japanese anime person.
Right.
But Final Fantasy VII, the original, is a fantastic masterpiece of a game. I played the chapter one of the new one, and I actually really enjoyed it. I thought it was a fun game, and I did not expect to enjoy it.
Yeah.
So my thought process is they're looking at that and saying, okay, if we do exactly what you just said, where you can have the option of this, but we're going to create a new combat system that... or take from another game, whatever it may be. You know, the Assassin's Creed Arkham Spider-Man combat would be the way to go here.
Oh, for sure.
But you still need to, I have a feeling they need to lean into Force abilities way more than Jedi Fallen Order did and give you diversity of Force just like they did in the original, because you could tap into the dark side, you could use light side powers. It was kind of a mess, but it's 21 years old, so you can't really call it a mess. It was a valiant attempt at innovation, and it worked in its time. If you go back now, it's an absolute disaster of a mess with the stats and the way gear, like you put gear on, your character looks like a fool. So I have a feeling, you know, the gear system is going to be way more in depth than it was in Jedi Fallen Order, and you'll actually be able to look a certain part. Probably have the option to use some items cosmetically versus, you know, functionally, as well as customizing your lightsaber, which they had in the old game.
Yeah.
You had three parts to your lightsaber and you could change it in and out to change your stats. I have a feeling they'll do that. You'll still be able to pick your crystal like you could. But I don't know so much as a skill tree as much as specking into certain skills, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like a free, more of a Skyrim freeform. Like create your own type of Jedi.
I would hope
or
so.
Sith.
I mean, like I'm okay with having like specific trees you could go down, but to be able to like mix and match and like be like a Rey.
I think that's the route. You know, like, because that's what the original one was.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I would love the ability to actually be a gray Jedi. Like, what if I am just?
You can.
Yeah, like, but that's the thing is like that's the level of customization that I really want. I want to be able to be like, yeah, a little bit of Force lightning here, some Force choke there.
They won't
like
take
Fable,
that away because
you know, like how Fable was.
There were certain abilities that you had to be X dark side for.
Right, I remember that.
To tap into.
Yep.
But on a baseline, you could use like Force Lightning 2 at a certain level. And, you know, if you stayed in the gray in the middle.
And that, I remember doing that. I remember it because, again, the Fable portion where like if you went a little evil, you got into play that. But then you could kind of bring it back a little bit and phase back. And like which, the whole idea of keeping balance was really cool.
Which is why they introduced you to Jolly Bindo in right. the game when you go to Kashyyyk, because he's the Qui-Gon, the middle of the road, you know, the Jedi didn't agree with me and I didn't agree with them. That's another thing too. I'm really curious if they're going to use the word gray like they did originally.
Oh,
like, oh, Jolly, he's an outcast. He's a gray Jedi. You know, that was a thing. So this opens up a lot of questions. I have a feeling we won't see a trailer till Celebration next May. Mm-hmm. Will be the first time we see a gameplay.
such a long time.
Yeah, I mean, the games, they didn't give a date, so no. My guess is sometime in 2023 is when we'll see this.
Oh, yeah,
so it's exciting.
It is.
It's, you know, what the most exciting part is, like, people like Ben getting to experience it, Audrey, Kyler, Hunter.
Yeah.
Even Jules, like, now their generation gets to play the story that literally the reason I am doing this podcast with Tim is because of that game. Mm. That's what took me the next step into Star Wars. That's when I started buying the comics. That's when I started getting books. And then the MMO just was like the catapult that shot me into the sky. And that's when I started deep diving into lore and legends and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to introduce and bring a whole new fan base into what we loved as kids and teenagers.
Yep.
And really speak to that. And that's what excites me the most, is it's going to unite two generations of Star Wars fans. And that's so exciting to me.
Okay. Well, I think we covered everything we wanted to cover with KOTAR. So.
Well, Christian Slater is going to be Ren. We talked about that. Supposedly, yeah, it's a rumor.
That's wild.
And I said to Tim, I was like, you got to read the Kylo Ren comic before we do the show. So Tim read it last night. What are your impressions? I read it a few months ago, so I'm not as on top of it as you, yeah, fresh in my mind. But
So I sped read through it last night. It's a really interesting character development for Kylo. It helps bridge a gap between him leaving Luke, the idea that he killed Luke, which then, like, I can understand why he's so surprised by this this quest to continue hunting Luke Skywalker after he assumed that he killed him at the temple. Watching Kylo go through these steps of transformation from a confused Jedi Padawan to just this ball of hatred was really interesting. It was also really interesting to see the connection between Snoke and Kylo, because it was truly a connection between Kylo and the Emperor.
Did you notice where Snoke was living?
Yeah, so Snoke was actually living in the a very interesting place that we came to know in the High Republic books. It's the I forget the people that built
the Imaxines.
The Imaxine built a space station where we end up finding some really evil Sith shit, which makes sense as to why Snoke is there. But this whole idea of the Knights of Ren, I'm still a little confused as to, like, who they are. They're just like this group of mercenaries. They're kind of just like these guys that just don't care. They live by their rules. They live by the law of Ren. So Ren is a person, but also an idea, which I found to be very interesting. They hold true to almost the Sith way of, Kylo eventually kills Ren, who is the leader of the Knights of Ren, becoming the leader of the Knights of Ren. And so it just seems to be like within that Sith thing is like you kill the apprentice kills the master to then become the master himself. So it was kind of weird. Like there's four or five episodes and they're very short, a little disjointed. So I'm curious to see in the show how they flush that out. I hope that they give Ren a little more context, because he kind of just shows up. He's this guy that's dismorphed. He's actually been burning his skin with his lightsaber.
Yep.
He's also tricky. At some point, he activates a dead man switch on his lightsaber that has this massive bomb inside of it. So if he dies, he blows everybody up, which I thought was really cool. Christian Slater as Ren, though, is very, very interesting. I can see why they want him there. He can definitely like pull off the really good bad guy. So, but he's also really handsome, and that's how he's portrayed in the comics. He's this very handsome guy, but he's completely just morphed by his own ideologies and using the lightsaber as like not only a tool for evil, but also like this idea that everyone gets behind. It reminds me a lot of in High Republic with the with Marcion Roe. He has a very like Marcion Roe like presence to him of just like this guy that just wants, he'll do whatever he wants to get his way. So it was cool. It was interesting. I didn't feel like it gave it. It still didn't give me enough context as to who the Knights of Ren are. Like why Kylo thought like Kylo and Luke end up running into the Knights of Ren. And that's how Kylo learns of the Knights of Ren for the first time. But he like doesn't see them for 10 years or like 5 years, and then all of a sudden just like they remember him and he just shows up. So there's still a lot of fleshing out in that story to tell.
Apparently, it's going to be in live action. I have a feeling it's for Mandalorian.
That would make sense
I have a feeling we're going to meet them before they meet Kylo and Luke.
Oh, interesting. That would make sense because I mean, like they're out and about doing their own thing at this time,
and they make money by doing bounties.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, if we don't see them in Mando, we'll see them in the Book of Boba. Could.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. Yeah. It could be Book of Boba. Could be Ahsoka.
There's a lot. So what's cool about, you made the great point, Kevin, is that Star Wars is doing this more and more of like these characters that are just like force users that like they aren't Jedi, they aren't Sith. They're kind of just out there. They're just doing their own thing. Right.
I think Lucas, the company, wants to get away from the idea that only Jedi and Sith can exist. And, you know, maybe there's a few in the middle. I think they're trying to make the force more of a blanket over the universe, and that there are things that we can see and not understand based on our 43 years now of Star Wars history. You know, the Night Sisters are a great example.
Yeah.
They tap hard into the dark side, but they're not necessarily bad people or Sith. They're not Sith.
Right.
Straight up. They're not Sith.
They're just dark force users.
They're dark. Dark mystics or something like that.
Because they dealt in more of the mysticism of the Sith culture,
right? If you related it to straight, because Star Wars is a samurai cowboy high fantasy
right
story, that's what it is. So if you equated it to fantasy, they'd be, you know, like a black mage or something.
Yeah, like the priestess for like the shoguns and stuff.
Yeah, or a shadow priest if you play WoW. That's a good one. I like that Disney is doing that. I know that they did that in a lot of the Legends, but I like that Disney is making Force users this non... They're not committing like, oh, are you a Sith or a Jedi?
Right.
It's this... While other people can use the Force. There was another race... I can't remember which race it was that Disney recently... Some race of people that use the Force. I think they were in Bad Batch, Clone Wars. I can't remember. They can use the Force, but they're not really. It was the bird people. What was that from?
Oh, the one that was the one in the High Republic where
Yes. Okay. That's what I'm thinking
of. Hold on.
Yeah. The one who's driving Marcion Roe's.
He's a navigator. He's a part of the Navigator Guild.
Yeah. They use the Force to see.
Yeah. He's a wayfinder. So that comes from Timothy Zahn's books with Thrawn. Remember when I was telling you that in the unknown regions, they need navigators to go through the chaos? That's who he is. He's a part of the Navigator Guild.
So yeah, tapping into the Force using different means. Another big rumor that hit recently too is that Finn is getting his own show, which is great because we thought John Boyega was done. I'm sure his completely justified statements about being upset with Disney got conversations going, but
yeah, they
it
gave
looks
him
like,
the shaft.
I was telling Tim at the gym this morning, I love Finn in The Force Awakens, and then the next two movies, I just think the writing completely destroys and dismantles all the momentum we had with his character. And then all of a sudden in Rise of Skywalker, he's like, Rey, I have to tell you something in that pit with the snake. And it's like, where are we going with that? Are we going to, we're going to talk about that more? That Finn is probably about to tell her like, I can use the Force, you know? So I'm excited to see where they go with this. I'm really curious what the timeline is. It could potentially be the first post Rise of Skywalker piece of content we get, which would be interesting to see, because I don't think they're not going to want to follow Finn around as a stormtrooper. That'll be boring. I think if you did something in the future and had him flash back to when he's a stormtrooper, would be fun. I don't think there's enough meat on the bone to fill in the blanks between the movies. So that kind of is out for me. So the only logical explanation would be post Rise of Skywalker.
Or we get an earlier, like what it was like to be brought up in the Empire or the new war.
That's why I think flashbacks would be fun. I don't think you could flesh out an entire show with that, or maybe one or two episodes.
I mean, I don't think they do it.
WandaVision.
Yeah.
Where in episode 4, we went back and we retraced all of our steps to tell the story, you know, on that.
Because
side.
I would love to know like what happens with Finn when he's like abducted from his family, or what was it like to be under Phasma, and what trials and tribulations did he go through that put him to the point where he went through all the brainwashing. He was, you know, a part of it. And then all of a sudden there was something that happens that shifts him into wanting to leave. So like, I would love to see more of that.
Yeah. But I think you could do and tell both stories.
I'm really curious though, because now we're going to have a Finn. We're going to have an FN-2187 show. But then we're also going to have the guy from Rogue One.
Andor.
We're going to have the Cassian Andor show.
Cassian Andor.
I feel like they're kind of like in the same scope, right? Like they've
now Andor's going to be Mission Impossible James Bond guy.
What do you think the Finn show is going to be?
Finn's way more. He's not suave like Andor. He's a mess. Which is why he's super relatable as a character, cuz you feel like you know him.
But he goes on missions that are like secretive to a certain. He just always messes them up. He just like he's goofy.
Right, which is why Andor doesn't do that. Andor's the
methodical,
Andor, I think you're going to see the dark side of what the Republic did to the Rebellion did against the Empire. Sure. I think that's what they're going to talk about because of his line in Rogue One where he says, "You don't know the things we've had to do."
Sure.
You know, to stay alive. I think I can't remember the exact line, but I think that's what they're going to show us is like the horrible things that Cassian had to do to, you know, get information and be a spy.
Yeah.
Because he regrets it. You can tell. But I think that's what they're going to. I think Finn will be much more a lighthearted adventure, but possibly maybe tortured by flashbacks of being a stormtrooper and doing terrible things there.
Mm.
That's my two cents.
All right. I like it.
The other big thing, and this is not new. This is just spurred by a TikTok video I saw claiming that Luke is a clone.
Okay. So you sent me this TikTok and it blew my mind.
I'm pulling it up so I can watch it again.
It blew my mind. So the whole idea is that when Luke's hand was cut off, the Emperor took that hand and kept it, and from that hand created a clone of Luke Skywalker. And the theory is that clone is who we end up seeing in episodes 7, 8, and 9.
Supporting evidence. This happens in Legends.
Right.
Luke is cloned at Mount Tantus, which is a cloning facility for the Empire.
Which is the same mountain that we see at the end of Bad Batch season 1.
Someone showed me the comic book picture of it and then showed me the clone or showed the Bad Batch one. And it's like, it's the same thing.
It's the same spot.
So, I think Mount Tantus, now the more I'm reading, is actually the key to so much going on in Star Wars. It's not even funny. I think it's the key to Grogu. I think it's the key to Snoke. I think it's the key to why the Emperor like has struggled to find a body and can't stay alive, but is basically on, you know, machine life support. And possibly Luke is a clone. Well, that would be the most kick in the dick to so many new Star Wars fans who just wouldn't be able to like comprehend
it,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
all the old fans will be like, we knew this already, you know.
So here's the other thing that we have to take into consideration. When Rey gets Luke's lightsaber from Mob in the bottom of the bar, mm-hmm. she said that when she was like, where did you get this from? She's like, that's a story for another day. We have still yet to get that story as to how she found the lightsaber that was held in Luke's hand when his hand was cut off and fell to the bottom of Bespin. So there are so many things left to tell, and that's why this makes so much sense, because this is the twist that could tie episode 7 into that. This whole like idea of like Luke's hand was what the Emperor wanted in order to make a Skywalker body that he could inhabit.
So, hold on, I'm collecting my thoughts. With Luke, you have to remember this in canon. Because I know some people might be confused now. I believe, don't get me wrong, I believe it happens after Return of the Jedi, where he faces off, because he faces off against this clone at one mm-hmm. point, which is so cool. And I believe it happens after Return of the Jedi. So it's extended EU post what we see live. So it has nothing to do really with the general story. This version would have massive implications, if true, for the sequel trilogy.
I'm curious, though, because this Luke, the Luke that's in episode 7, 8, 9, very much so functions as the Luke, the person that you come to understand is struggling with everything that he was brought to believe by Obi-Wan Kenobi. He's having a really, really hard time. He ends up going down the same path that we've seen countless Jedis go down, where they recognize the Jedi Order is flawed.
Right.
It's got its problems, and the teachings need to be revisited and rewritten. And so that's the only part that I'm struggling with, is that this person really, like, Mark Hamill truly did bring back Luke Skywalker as if he was like, you know, we ended in episode 6 and we picked it right back up, and he just aged. And so that's why I'm having a hard time comprehending this part is, well, if he's a clone, how is it that he, like, at what point do, like, the memories and everything, like, how did he get all those memories? How did he get all those feelings and emotions? Because the clones, as they operate now in Clone Wars, like, within the mechanics that we understand, they don't have any of Jango's memories. They are all clean slates. They begin their life as a soldier. And so right. I'm really curious, is like, how does memory transfer work? Like, how do all these things come to be? So I'm very curious with that.
If true, the secrets lie inside of Mount Tantus.
I like their leaning into this.
Maybe the Bad Batch is the key. Maybe they're the ones.
And maybe Grogu was the key to creating the clone. Maybe that's what they needed. They needed his M count. I don't know.
I still think that, and I know you hate this theory, I still think they're trying to get midichlorians or whatever, or at least the blood of Grogu, to get to the next phase of helping the Emperor rematerialize.
Yeah.
I do think that.
I was very rigid to the idea. I felt like it was a big cop out of just be like, oh yeah, the Kaminoans are the ones who did it. But like, the more and more we get into the Kaminoans no longer being on Kamino, and they've been physically removed from their homes to come make the Empire these new clones of whatever. I don't want to be resistant to it anymore, because it's going to happen regardless. So I just have to kind of accept it.
Yeah. And they're fleshing out the clone story. So yeah. In totality, it might be better than what you were originally thinking. But yeah. That
was heavy.
Could change a lot.
That's a very heavy subject, and I think we could spend an entire episode just talking about a clone Luke and like what that would look like. So if you guys are listening right now, please, you know, hit us up on Twitter. Let us know what you think. Jump in the Rare Drop Discord. We got a Star Wars channel for you guys to come hang out and talk with us. So if you like, I would love to hear you guys. I would love to hear your thoughts. on the idea of what a clone Luke would even like, what would that mean for the Star Wars universe? So please let us know.
So yeah, when we recorded the last episode, we were like, oh, we're going to do the High Republic comics. Like, once again, we're sorry. We're putting those on the shelf because, and Tim is almost done with the book. So we're going to make time for the book, the comics, the IDW comics. I just got an IDW account so Tim and I could read those. I started reading them. They're awesome. Yoda's in them. So that's fun. But Visions comes out next week. So for the next, I believe it's, let me see how many episodes there are.
Six or seven.
I think it's eight. Star Wars Visions. Anyway, with Visions coming out, Tim and I are going to focus on Visions for the next few weeks. If you don't know what Visions is, it's a new Disney Plus show. It's non-canon. It is anthology. So if you ever seen, what's the Matrix one they did?
Yes.
And they did one for Batman too. Basically, Matrix, they Revolution? Get a bunch of
Matrix Revolution. I think.
Resurrection is the new
Revolutions.
One. Revolutions, I think,
yep,
you're right.
I am correct.
They did one for Batman too. So they get like 6, 7, 8 animation teams and writers. They put them together and they make an anthology series that exists within the universe. So each episode is a different animation team. So it's a different style, different writers. They have nothing to do with each other. They're just fun stories written by people for this. So Star Wars has done this with Visions. It'll be on Disney Plus.
Real quick before people get really pissed off, it's called Animatrix.
Animatrix
Revolution came out at the exact same time. That's why I was just like, oh, it was Revolution. Yeah, 2003 we saw Animatrix and Revolution.
Also, I lied, we have one more week, so we can talk about High Republic next week, the 22nd. I thought it was the 15th that it came out.
I mean,
the 22nd.
Kevin, I think we're gonna have a lot of things to talk about on our next episode though.
Why?
I mean, we have a special guest coming.
Do we?
My eyes got really wide for those that are wondering. I almost just like took my pants off when Kevin told me about this person that's coming on.
I thought we were recording two episodes next week because Visions was coming out on the 15th, but it comes out the 22nd. So this actually fits our timeline way more perfectly. So the 22nd will be Visions. High Republic's still on the shelf. Next week, Tim and I will be recording, so the episode should be released on Friday of next week with Mark Thompson. Mark Thompson is the voice of Star Wars in the audiobook world. If I get a book of Star Wars that isn't read by Mark Thompson, I can't get through
it.
I've tried twice, and it's really rough. Mark makes the characters come to life. He's a phenomenal voice actor, and Tim and I have the privilege to sit down with him for about an hour and chit-chat about his love of Star Wars because he's a huge fan on top of getting to do the audiobooks. And his journey through voice acting and whatnot. So Tim and I are recording that next week with Mark. It'll be out on Friday the 17th. And then the following week, we'll start jumping into the first episode of Visions. And then after Visions is over, we'll get to High Republic. And then High Republic should coast us with all of the comics that we have to read. There's another book coming out. The Lorna D book comes out soon. Should coast us right into Book of Boba. Like, we should just sail through High Republic into Book of Boba. So that's where we're at. And then hopefully Book of Boba leads and sails us right into Mandalorian, but we're still waiting on that.
See what happens.
Supposedly, I sent, and this is a rumor again, and we've heard rumors like this before, it might not be true, but supposedly Favreau and Lucasfilm are having creative differences on Mandalorian.
No, it's not Lucasfilm. It is George Lucas.
George Lucas.
George
sorry.
Lucas yes. and Jon Favreau are having issues. And this doesn't surprise me because these reports came out during the filming of the second season that there was confliction because Lucas was on set. And I understand why they want George there. They're using him as another set of eyes to make sure that it all fits within his vision of Star Wars. But keep in mind, his vision of Star Wars has changed so much from when he first set out to develop what a universe looks like in a galaxy far, far away. So I'm a little concerned that they continue to bring him in as a consultant for the show. I think Jon Favreau and I'm totally drawing a blank. Dave Filoni. Wow, that was really hard. Chris, I think those two together have done. They're massive Star Wars fans. I trust Filoni with like with Star Wars, like as a whole. Like he is proven to me with Clone Wars, with Rebels, with Mando, with Ahsoka. Time and time again, he has proven to me that like Star Wars is in a really good place, and he's treating it with love and respect. When you hear him talk about Star Wars, he has nothing but just like reverence for it, and he appreciates like Lucas as a teacher. Like honestly, Lucas gave him all the knowledge. Like if Lucas directly taught Filoni everything about Star Wars, and so like that's it. And so like that's why I'm so concerned that they bring him in. And then you get these reports of like, oh, he's not happy. It's like, well, of course he's not happy. This isn't the thing he created in the 70s. Like, this is something new, and it's evolved. So I'm a little frustrated with that because I don't want him to mess it up.
I hope George doesn't have enough power to mess it up anymore since he got billions of dollars to walk away.
Yeah.
I don't mind him being on set, but like it's. You signed away your baby.
Yeah, watching the behind the scenes of like when they brought Lucas onto the set of The Mandalorian for the first time, like he was like, wow, this is cool. Like he was like, you could tell he was excited. But just knowing that he's throwing, you know, we've seen it before. Like he throws tantrums about where Star Wars is. Like he wasn't happy with the newest trilogy, and he was like, but I had all these ideas and they didn't listen to me, blah, 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 blah. I was like, no, they didn't listen to you because you're not in charge anymore. So it's a little frustrating.
And the only other thing we have to get done in the next few weeks is we do have to cover the second episode of Gallery Season 2, which is the Luke Skywalker episode.
Yes.
So that's what we have on the table. Again, I apologize for not being able to record the last few weeks, but it was a little out of my control. But we're here. We're set up in the office now, so we're good to go. Tim has to go stream, so we are going to hop off. Thank you so much for checking out Star Wars and Scotch episode 52. You can check out Tim at fb.gg/darkness429, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern. You can go hang out with him. He's very excited about the slew of games that were announced yesterday. Guardians is probably the one that they showed yesterday, the soonest that you're going to play, right?
What, September 21st, I think? It's like 2 weeks
away. Is it that soon?
Yeah, it's like 2 weeks away. It's like right around the corner.
Oh!
Yeah.
Oh!
Yep.
I'm so excited. Yep. Okay, so you can go watch Tim play Guardians of the Galaxy.
I'm so pumped, dude.
And you can check everything I do out at raredrop.co. If you want to follow me, it's KMagic101 on Instagram, KevinXVision on Twitter. But you all have a fantastic week and weekend, and we'll be back next week with Mark Thompson, the voice of Star Wars audiobooks, to talk all things voice acting in Star Wars. But as always, Tim.
May the Force be with you.
And also with you.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.